Have your say. 1300 872911. John McKenzie, 4CA.
Well, we're going to continue on with this very, very, what would you call it, positive outlook about the immediate future in tourism. Now, we just had that update from Mark Olsen on these flights coming into towns. Generally speaking, he was talking about 80% full, 80% capacity. Well, I would have thought it would have been closer to 100, but anyway, we're going to talk about this matter now with a gentleman who knows all about the airlines. Just before we do that, I'll quote this couple of paragraphs, or one paragraph, from the Cairns Post today. Flight Centre Chief Executive Graham Screw Turner has called for the country to remain open amid concerns knee-jerk border closures will destroy traveller confidence. Now, the Premier's vowed to do everything she can to avoid slamming the border shut again, but stopped short of detailing conditions that would see Queensland close again, prompting uncertainty in the struggling tourism industry. Anyway, Mr. Turner yesterday welcomed Queensland's dismantling of its border blockade to Sydney and Victoria, but he remains concerned they could again close without warning. Now, to give you an idea of just how much it's hit these companies, Flight Centre has processed $1,100 million in refunds since the pandemic started, but Mr. Turner hopes the border opening means the company's turned a corner. Now, I'm going to cross now to Perth. We've got Geoffrey Thomas on the line, the editor of airlineratings.com. Geoffrey, good morning.
Greetings, John. How are you?
I'm well, and I just had an update from Mark Olsen, TTNQ. That first flight came in from Perth yesterday. He's talking about 80% of capacity on those flights. I would have thought they would have been chockers, but then again, it's only a couple of days ago since we heard all of this good news from our Premier.
Yeah, look, indeed. And, of course, from the same time, from the West Australia's perspective, there's also people still concerned that at any time the border may be shut again. So there's nervousness as far as the travelling public is concerned as to what may or may not. I mean, that South Australian hiccup really freaked people out, and they thought, cripes, you know, he had a state that was well and truly under control for months and months, and all of a sudden you had this anomaly, if you like, and the whole place got shut down. Then you had somebody lying about where they caught this thing. I presume the person who lied was actually a paid for cash worker and was told to lie because otherwise the ATO would be onto him.
Okay,
I mean, and this is where the problem with all of this is that these quarantine hotels are just simply have not been up till now in many cases properly policed, properly guarded, properly everything, and all the problems we've had have been out of quarantine hotels.
Yeah.
So, you know, the damage to the economy is so massive, you would have thought the governments, the state governments, the federal governments would have taken it a bit more seriously and put more resources into it and made it mandatory that the army was involved from the get-go and said, you know, these guys and ladies are going to man this place and make sure people don't move around.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Now, Geoffrey, you would have an idea of just what a challenge these announcements the last couple of days have presented to the bosses of the airlines. How on earth would they get these planes back into the air, well, almost immediately, because they've scheduled lots and lots of flights starting straight away?
Okay, so what they've been doing, they use ghost flying. It's where they have crews, they anticipated the reopening, so they've had crews trained up for some time, but just doing the minimum of flying to keep current so they can get as many crews as possible flying, so when it does ramp up they've got all the crews available. So to put that in perspective, a Qantas pilot who hadn't flown for 6 months or 180 days thereabouts, approximately 6 to 7 days of retraining, various simulator sessions, even a mental health session, a 2 day ground school, then simulator sessions, a mental health session, so to make sure that they're all good in that perspective. So 7 days, and then the planes themselves a 737, which is the sort of aircraft that typically flies in and out of Cairns and other places. You're talking about 400, maybe 500 hours of work to get it back to flying condition. So there's an enormous amount of work involved. And then, you know, in the background to all of this, and I know there's been some discussions about cancellations and refunds and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
An airline like Emirates, they have processed 1.7 million refund requests. Now, there are lots of people who have been jumping up and down and say, look, you know, it's taken me 2 weeks or a month to get a refund. In some cases, it's months.
Yes.
But to process 1.7 million requests, that's just one airline. And all these airlines are in the same position. And, of course, there are also a lot of queries, you know, hundreds of thousands of queries. What do I do? What are my options? And all this sort of stuff. So the phone staff of all these airlines have been under massive, massive pressure.
Yeah.
Everybody, I mean, the bottom line is everybody's been under massive pressure this year. Nothing is normal. Nothing is nothing. There's nothing. There's no precedent for any of this in modern times. And most of it's been, we've been making it up as we go.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's been a real challenge,
Exactly. Now, if you don't mind, where are we going from here, Geoffrey? It's difficult to ask you this because nobody's had a previous experience of such a, a dreadful depression, if you like, in international travel, domestic travel. But how will the recovery take place? Is it going to happen suddenly? I mean, I've got figures in front of me saying, oh, we're up 200%, 300% in, 24 hours and this sort of thing. But off a base that was so small, it would be probably be fairly easy to get a 500% increase. Where are we going with this over the next month or two?
Well, if we do not get any more community spread of COVID-19, and that's contained to the hotels, the quarantine hotels, I see it just accelerating because there's tremendous pent-up demand to travel, to see relatives, loved ones, or just to see different parts of Australia. There's a huge pent-up demand.
Mm.
People are just desperate to spread their wings, so to speak, if I can use that.
Yeah.
But they need confidence. They need confidence that the borders aren't going to be shut again, and they need confidence that the tracing's under control and the contact tracing's under control and all those other things are being properly managed. Once we get a build-up of confidence, a real build-up of confidence, I see it just accelerating away because people are just, people have been basically walled up in their homes in most parts of Australia for a long, long time. And it's just not natural. They want to get out. They want to spread their wings. And I see the demand just accelerating. I really do.
I know we've had a bit of a breakthrough with our Premier's position on our borders this week, and everyone's celebrating that, but I pick up the Courier Mail today, and it says hopes of Queensland joining the Trans-Tasman bubble as border closures ease have been extinguished by the Premier. She said the government remains firmly opposed to international travel. She said yesterday it's too early for Queensland to participate with New Zealand in the Trans-Tasman travel bubble, which is already operating, I understand, into other states, but still, sadly, we're not going to get access to that part of the market.
Well, I think that's extraordinary. I'm bordering on almost bizarre because New Zealand has led the world. Mm. I mean, New Zealand has absolutely led the world, along with Western Australia, in controlling COVID-19.
Yeah.
So to sort of open your borders to Western Australia but not to New Zealand doesn't, to me, make any sense. Mm. And I mean, New Zealand to me is not really international travel. It's a one market. Mm. It has been for decades. Mm. And sure, it's much closer than WA, for instance. It's closer than South Australia, etc. So I don't understand why the reasoning behind that, unless there's something that she's not sharing with everybody. But on the surface of it, that seems extraordinary because New Zealand are absolutely on top of this. And then in most cases, they've done a better job than Australia has. So that's a strange. If we're talking about Singapore, yes, I would completely agree with the Premier.
Yeah.
But with New Zealand, no chance.
Exactly.
I think we should have opened up our borders to New Zealand a long time ago.
Yeah.
Because of their excellence in this space. So
yes.
That's a very strange statement for the Premier to make, and it needs further clarification.
Really appreciate this discussion today. Thanks, Geoffrey.
Absolute pleasure, John. Anytime.
That's Geoffrey Thomas. He's the editor of airlineratings.com. Now, we're going to the news. If you'd like to pick up on some of the matters we're discussing, the talk number 1300 872911.